the girl and I that were training together, who grew up on opposite sides of the country, you know, different family structures, different beliefs, different upbringing, like by all senses of the word, like, you know, on paper, wouldn't have ever met. And also, you know, for a lot of reasons, like, wouldn't necessarily get along. And we were experiencing the exact same things through training for this half marathon.
I'm Trey.
I'm Quest.
And we're your hosts. Each week, we'll seek out and interview the heroes that live amongst us.
And each week, we'll ask them to tell us the story of an adventure that challenged them, stuck with them, and forced them to grow.
This is our truest adventure. Yo, we got a sponsor.
We don't have a sponsor. You're joking. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious, man.
Who's the sponsor?
It's a company here in South Louisiana called Varsity Sports. It's a running company that also, besides providing running gear, they also do great stuff in the community.
You don't need to tell me about Varsity Sports. I've been going to Varsity since I moved back to New Orleans like 2 years ago. Linda at the shop on Magazine Street in New Orleans helped me pick my shoes for the half marathon, the marathon this year, and the ultra marathon, the 50 miler.
That's awesome. That's super cool.
And hey guys, I'm Denali Lander, the executive director of Youth Run NOLA and this week's guest on the podcast. Varsity Sports has been a significant supporter of Youth Run since the beginning. In fact, if you're out there at the Crescent City Classic and see purple Youth Run singlets or yellow t-shirts on our hundreds of kids and coaches and charity runners, know that's all provided generously by Varsity Sports.
Wow. Like I said, serving the community. And if you guys are interested in grabbing a free shirt, why don't you go over to one of their four locations, either in Baton Rouge, Mandeville, or go see Miss Linda on Magazine Street, or better yet, check out that new store.
New location, Old Metairie.
Old Metairie, and you can get a free shirt every time you buy a pair of sneaks.
So check out this episode now, Denali, like the mountain.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you so much for joining us on the Truest Adventure. My name is Trey.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Markel.
And I'm Quest.
Today we are joined with Denali. Denali Lander, say hi.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. How you feeling today?
Great. Very happy to be here. Happy to be in the studio with the Truest Adventure.
Super stoked to have you.
Love it. And still dead space.
Still, you know, dead air. We still in that pocket.
No. You know what the problem is? You're like our LeBron James. And so the rest of us don't warm up till somewhere in the middle of the second quarter. And we need you to get about like 15, 20 points through that first quarter, that first half of the second. And then once we hit that spot, we're with you. We got it.
All right. Cool. So then I'm going to have a conversation here with my friend Denali while you guys warm up and just kind of like dribble the ball up the court then, I guess, in that analogy. Is this sportsing? Are we sportsing?
We are sportsing. We're live, man. Sportsing right now.
Weird. The two of us have decided to make this season about sportsing, huh?
Oh my God. Can
Think
I?
About that.
We have a phenomenal guest who's going to tell us all these amazing things about her life and running. But can I just say, in like a 5 second story, I was walking with my boss somewhere yesterday to go watch this thing in court, and he's super into one of the college sportsing teams. And you know how you try to just like, yeah, man, cool. Yeah, absolutely. I can't believe they're doing so poorly. And we sportsed for like the entire 15-minute walk. And I was lost after he said the name of the college sportsing team. Mm. I did not follow any of the people he referenced, any of the coaches, or any of the issues that they're presently having.
Man, Duke's really struggling right now. Yeah, they're arch rival Wake Forest.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, whatever, huh? What?
I'm super lost. I know that those two things are schools and they have sportsing at those schools, but how they're doing in the sportsing, I didn't know. Like,
Jen, are you a big sportser?
No.
You don't do the sports?
I do NBA, and that's my limit.
NBA, wait, your team? What?
Huh? Do you mean NBA is in the National Basketball Association, or does that stand for something else?
Yeah.
Okay.
National Basketball Association.
Got it.
Pelicans fan. Was a bigger Hornets fan, but.
Hell's bigger fan. Hornets fan. It's the same team.
But
though,
is that because
right?
of the yeah. mascot?
No, you... no, I actually really do like the Pelicans. I think I'm one of the few people that liked that mascot change, but not big on Anthony Davis.
What?
That's all we've got. Like, how are you a fan? That's it. That's what we've got. That is the whole team. So, minus Anthony Davis, you're basically
I liked when we had
in yet another episode where we are still seeking our first sponsor of this podcast. We know it won't be anything Benson owned.
Probably won't be a Mercedes bit.
Dealership just, or anything Nike related.
Nope.
To me, it's more interesting.
Not a Nike athlete, is he? Isn't he an Under Armour athlete? Or no, he's AD? Got like a weird.
No,
he's Nike and Red Bull. Is that right?
No, it's like TurboTax. He's sponsored by TurboTax.
He has a weird sponsor.
No, I'm not joking.
Like, I swear,
that's
like
not a joke.
I think one of his sponsors is Red Bull.
I'm not joking. It's TurboTax.
Jenna, what do you do when you're at the podcast? Aren't you doing some research on who Anthony Davis's sponsors are right now? Or do you hate him that much you won't even
Google
I got Google
you. It? I was just going to say I like it. I think it's more entertaining when we had several good players as opposed to having a shit team and one great player. You know, I liked when it was like Kamen and Vasquez and it was a little more interesting.
Damn, deep cuts, Jenna. I like that. That's actually spoken like a sportsing fan. What about you, Markel? Sportsing fan?
Nope.
No.
No.
Period. Okay. No. Good to know. Denali, let's get to you, our actual guest for the evening. Are you a sporting fan?
I love sports.
You love sports. What sports do you love?
I like to play.
Yeah.
And watch basketball the Ooh. Most.
What's your basketball team?
I grew up liking the Nuggets, but I can watch the Pelicans, and I do like Anthony Davis.
Okay. Well, that makes up for Jenna. So, Jenna, be on alert. Denali could be filling in full time.
He's sponsored by H&R Block and Nike.
I told you.
And Nike.
Because that makes so much sense. That's what I'm trying to figure out as we go into tax season. Where's my local NBA star going to get his taxes done for free? I call bullshit. Anthony Davis is not using the $42 online filing from H&R Block to do his taxes.
No, dude, the CEO of H&R Block does Anthony Davis's taxes.
I don't even think that guy does taxes. That guy just makes money and spends it. He's not doing anybody's taxes.
I bet he would do Anthony Davis's if he asked.
Shit, I would do Anthony Davis's taxes if he asked me.
I don't think we have to worry about that, though.
I don't know. He hears this podcast. Lives could be changed.
Denali, did you play other sports? Do you play other sports? Do you still play basketball? You hoop?
I haven't. It's been a little while since I've been on the Plainola court.
How did you get to be in this room in your mind? Like, tell us the progression of how you found this room.
Sure. So I grew up in Colorado. I grew up in Boulder, a couple hours away from Conifer.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. My older brother went to Tulane, actually. And so when I was in college, when I was in high school, I visited here a couple times. You know, fell in love with the city when I was here, just visiting my brother. So I ended up going to Tulane also. And ended up, when I was at school, I spent like most of my time at other schools, like at public high schools and middle schools in New Orleans. That's where I spent like any of my extracurricular time when I was in school. And had always wanted to be a teacher. So ended up being a teacher after Tulane. Knew that when I was, you know, in my undergrad, realized like I definitely want to be a teacher. I definitely want to stay in New Orleans and teach. Hurricane Katrina was my freshman year of school. So kind of my context of New Orleans is all post-Katrina, other than the trips that I'd made to visit my brother when I was in high school. But the education scene and the public education scene in New Orleans has been, you know, there's been a lot of reform. There's been a lot of innovation. And I was excited by that when I was in college. So I started teaching after school. Stayed a teacher for 5 years, and while I was a teacher, helped found the organization called Youth Run NOLA, and that is what I do now as my job. I'm the executive director and have had the good fortune of meeting both Trey and Mark West and Jenna and Markel because of Youth Run NOLA. And so I'd say that's how I ended up here.
Excellent. What subject did you teach?
I taught English. One semester of earth science, but mostly English.
One semester of earth
science.
It was
the worst. Yeah.
Why
I do
was it
know the
worst?
I do because I took one science class in college. I took one science class and one math class in college.
I did the same. Like, I don't have to take any more of those.
No.
What? You're doing it right, Markel. Was it Earth as a Living Planet?
No, it was physics. And I...
Ooh. That is a little who was your on professor? The rougher.
I have no idea who my professor was. It was my freshman year. It was my only science class that I really liked in high school, too. So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do physics. And it was my worst grade, worst class, worst experience. Not because of any fault of the professor. I just don't really have a math science brain.
Okay.
I read a lot of books in college.
Do you have a favorite book?
It's a
tough subject. It is. Like, what's your favorite movie? Do you have like a favorite book from when you were in college?
When I was younger, my favorite book was always To Kill a Mockingbird. Ooh, and I would say that still has like a very special place.
Did you read the sequel?
I did.
And?
Disappointed.
Ooh. Why?
But that feels terrible to say because I have a lot of respect for Harper Lee. How do you really follow To Kill a Mockingbird, you know?
Right. You write the great American novel. It's like, hang it up.
I love Moby Dick. I took a Jane Austen class, which is like not at all what my particular or like usual interest is, but I liked it. Toni Morrison. I say I'm more aligned to authors rather than have a particular favorite book.
All right. Who are you reading right now instead of what are you reading?
I'm reading The Infinite by a good friend of yours, Nick Maneri.
Ah, Nick Maneri.
Yeah, you guys should interview him on the podcast.
I think we'll get around to interviewing Nick at some point. Man is massively talented. Also an athlete. He's big in the sports scene.
Yeah, the main character is a runner.
Yeah, and Nick himself was a collegiate baseball player.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. He caught at Notre Dame. So here we are. We are kind of like getting into the crux of this, right? So you start this organization called Youth Run NOLA. I mean, let's not beat around the bush here. What is your truest adventure in running?
Ooh. Well, I figured you were going to ask that. I wholeheartedly believe that I haven't had it yet. Growing up in Colorado, I grew up across the street from the Sneedus Valley Trail. So I could, you know, had the incredible good fortune of being able to hike whenever I wanted. And hiking was always like something that my family did together. And then as I came into being in high school, it was the kind of thing that I did on my own. And, you know, in hindsight, can see that it was like a lot of my independence was found through hiking in the mountains. And a lot of what I think of now as like meditation or finding quiet was found in the mountains of Colorado. And that's kind of at my core. But at the same time, like Boulder is where they send like Olympians and the top collegiate cross-country runners to train because of the altitude and the access to trails. And several of my friends in high school were top collegiate runners. And so I wasn't that. I played basketball and volleyball and was like mediocre at both of those.
How did you find running then? So you're talking about like, you haven't had your truest adventure in running, which I think is a great answer, actually. But you say that you're hiking in high school and you're playing different sports in high school. When is it that you found running? And would you say that you are a runner and you love running? Or is it because, like, A, there's not a lot of women's rec basketball leagues here in New Orleans? Or what? What is that?
Yeah, so... Again, when I was in high school, I knew exactly and could still from, you know, today leave my parents' front door and know exactly where I have to run to get in a 3-mile run. And so it was always like thought of as like a punishment or like what I did to stay in shape. And when I was in college, the same thing, going to school across the street from Audubon Park, like went running to stay healthy, to stay in shape. And then when I was teaching, a good friend of mine knew about an organization in Los Angeles called Students Run LA. Incredible organization that's, you know, came about in the 80s and has had something like 30,000 kids run the LA Marathon.
Did you say 30,000?
Yeah, it's insane. Like every year it's hyper competitive. They have like 6,000 spots or something every year. And there's almost twice as many kids that are interested, and they have to like work their way, earn their way into it. And they run marathons.
They put 6,000 kids in a marathon?
Yeah, totally.
Wow.
And that's phenomenal. And when I was teaching, a good friend of mine, like I said, knew about the program, and she was training for the Crescent City Classic, which is like the premier 10K here in New Orleans. And some of her students asked her, like, honestly, like, what are you running for? Why are you running? And asked if they could join her. So she kind of sent out this all call to teachers, and I was teaching in St. Bernard Parish at the time, and she kind of sent out this all call, like, does anybody want to run with their students with me after school? So we met up at the track outside Chalmette High. And since that first youth run NOLA practice, I would say that's been, you know, I started by saying, like, I haven't had my truest adventure yet, but being a part of Youth Run NOLA has certainly set me on a path that completely changed the trajectory of who I thought I was going to be and what I am now. So I helped to kind of build this organization. Nonprofit work was something that I was, you know, familiar with because both my parents are involved in nonprofits. My brother worked for a nonprofit and started a nonprofit when he was in college after Hurricane Katrina. And I worked with him on that. Like, I was aware of it, but it had, was very narrow-mindedly, like, I'm going to be a teacher for the rest of my life. And only through this running program, the premise of which is we're essentially, you know, picked running as this sport because it is, in the world of sports, like, inexpensive. You need ideally shoes that really fit your feet, and that's pretty much it to be successful. And it's also accessible. So from the beginning, Youth Run has never been competitive. And that's something that I love about running, is that it's this combination of an intimately individual sport and goal setting within yourself and competition within yourself. And certainly you can be competitive with other people, but most of the runners that I know are by and large mostly competitive with themselves. And therefore it means that our sport can be super accessible, that everybody can be a part of it. So we have kids and adult running buddies who walk 5Ks, kids that show up having never run before and have just the raw talent to run 7-minute miles. Like, it is something that everybody can do, because it's about 1 foot in front of the other. And again, it's that individual, like, I did that, I crossed the finish line, I got myself there. But Youth Run, and frankly, like, every other running community that I've been a part of, really capitalizes on the fact that it is also an incredibly team-driven sport.
So you mentioned that it allows you to be competitive with yourself.
Yeah.
Would you say that you're competitive with yourself in running?
Yeah.
So, like, what are you doing right now to be competitive with yourself in running?
So I just ran my first marathon.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
How'd that feel?
It was awesome. You know, it's been interesting because, so I said I taught for 5 years, and then I transitioned to be the executive director of Youth Run NOLA about 2.5 years ago.
This is what's crazy. So you helped start this nonprofit that's for running,
mm-hmm.
and to get kids to be distance running.
Mm-hmm.
And you just now recently ran your very first, like, adult distance running, like, this milestone.
Yeah.
So you didn't feel the need to have been some huge, like, ultra marathoner to start this organization to get kids running.
No, but I would say for the last several years there, and what I've kind of realized in the last months of training for this marathon, is that I have often felt like an imposter because I haven't always felt that love of running that people describe, or like experience that runner's high, or, approach this from an angle of like, commitment to that as the sole sport. The angle that I came at this was every kid deserves to have like safe, structured, fun activity and to be healthy and can benefit from increased opportunities to do that. And so I think that is actually like a very unique part of Youth Run NOLA is that since it was founded by a group of teachers, the organization has an incredibly like kid first and growth mindset. And every single one of the founders, and I would argue like of the hundreds of volunteers that we get involved, like everyone's like relationship with running is altered by Youth Run NOLA. And that's certainly been the case for me. Like I remember when I was thinking today about my like truest adventures in running, the first thing that came to mind was the first half marathon that I ran with this girl from Youth Run NOLA. And she and I ended up running 5 rock and roll half marathons consecutively. But the first one, I grew up doing the Boulder 10K, which is by and large the best 10K. And I love the Crescent City Classic, but it's an amazing race in Boulder. but that was the furthest I'd run. And a half marathon was not something, you know, not only something that I had never done, but something that I was disinterested in. And again, grew up like having this strong dichotomy of like those people are runners and that I am not one of those people. And so in training for the first half marathon, I felt like for the first time, the girl and I that were training together who grew up on opposite sides of the country, you know, different family structures, different beliefs, different upbringing, like by all senses of the word, like, you know, on paper, wouldn't have ever met. And also, you know, for a lot of reasons, like wouldn't necessarily get along. And we were experiencing the exact same things through training for this half marathon. And I was super nervous. I was scared shitless. I got like sick the week before and was really stressed out that I wouldn't be able to do the race. And, you know, she was counting on me and I was counting on her. And we were both having like at that start line, I will never forget like it was like looking at her and it's like, we are the same. We're 10 years different by age, but like we were feeling the same thing because we were facing the same challenge. And so that's really kind of where I am now and why I think like that my adventure in running is still upcoming is like, yeah, now I've run a marathon, which was also never on my radar, if not for Youth Run NOLA. And this idea of like seemingly impossible goals and having watched young person after young person accomplish things that they never thought was possible and experience the same thing with myself at the same time is really powerful. And, you know, we have all kinds of examples of people like me and Sherelle, who I've run with, who end up building an incredibly deep bond through this activity. And that's kind of like my soapbox now of just in a city and in the context of the country, or, you know, there's something simple about the idea that running can build community. But I'm also very steadfast in believing that and really believe that through this shared activity and shared challenge, people can build relationships that they don't anticipate being able to build.
Do you have any advice then for people who are kind of uninterested in running or see it as a chore like you did in high school or college? You know, like how did you get to the point where you loved it?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. Like one, I was always like very self-conscious about how fast I was or how I looked when I was running or what I was wearing when I was running. Battle is like overstating it, but it's only recently that I've like become somewhat comfortable with the idea that like it's okay if I'm not, it's not about my pace, and it's, and the person who I'm running with isn't thinking about how slow I am or how out of breath I am. They're appreciating this time together just like I'm appreciating this time together. So I think for anyone who thinks of running as a chore, which I totally understand, there are plenty of days when I still think running is, I mean, it sucks a lot of times. It like is a challenge both mentally and physically. But I think it's about the network, and I think it's about finding people who you can do it with. And that's like, I think that's like the very, that's like the go-to advice. It's like, oh, find the people that can do the activity with you. But I genuinely believe that. And I think like that's kind of where I'm at right now in New Orleans, is figuring out like how can we build more running groups that include people that already have some kind of shared belief, you know, like identity or belief or something in common to kind of be the initial interest. And then through running together or walking together, they, you know, gain all the health benefits while also building out their network.
Great. So with that being said, where do you see like the next running group or crew or club? Like, where is that gonna be? Do you have something in mind for yourself?
So a couple months ago is when I told you guys, you Quest and you Trey, like, we should, I think there needs to be another running group, you know, in New Orleans. And again, this is so bizarre because I think this is all like, I'm currently in my truest adventure in running, I guess I should say. Like, it's not that it hasn't happened, it's just like it's happening live, where it's like realizing more and more that there is an opportunity to bring people together through running. So through, you know, both of you and your incredible like community building skills and rallying skills, have been able to be a part of the founding of the 504th, which is, you know, a part of, you know, feel super humbled to be a part of something like that, because it's a part of a international movement, Bridge the Gap movement, where it's like, nothing that I'm saying about community building and running is anything profound. Like, people have thought this and done something about it. And that's been the basis for the Bridge the Gap movement. And why I'm super excited now is like, there's an opportunity to bring all these adults together. And then I think from there, it's like, had the good pleasure of meeting people who run with Achilles, which is a program that utilizes running to help support people with physical disabilities. And so I'm super amped about that right now and trying to figure out, like, how do we bring that to New Orleans? I like to speak things into existence. So it's like right now, it's like I think about Youth Run NOLA and how that's benefiting kids. The 504th is, I hope, benefiting, certainly benefiting me and benefiting other adults. And I don't want to like list off like buckets of people, but I do think there are opportunities for like Special Olympics has had like kind of an up and down history in New Orleans since Katrina. So it's like, let's really keep that going. Let's make sure that although it doesn't exist now, like in the next year, there is an Achilles chapter in New Orleans. That there's like some phenomenal women's walking groups in the city and nationally. And like, let's make sure that we're linked up with those. And let's like make sure that everybody's not spinning their wheels independently in some silo, but let's continue to build community amongst these different running groups too.
Super cool. I mean, I just want to say it right now in case you are wondering, like, man, 504th definitely changing my life. And also Youth Run NOLA definitely has changed my life.
That's really good to hear. I appreciate and that.
And I've got one quick question, and then Markel's got a question. But yeah, while we're interviewing you, like, people at home listening to this or in their car or whatever, they have no idea. You're surrounded by us who have spent a lot of time in this room, and we're like passing notes around. How does that feel? Just real quick, because I see you looking at us when we're like passing notes, and I'm just like,
I warned you.
That could be awkward. I didn't realize that that was like, I mean, when it's the four of us and we're passing notes, yeah, it's like, we're just kind of, how does it feel to be being interviewed by people who are like, oh, here's a note?
I would say that it's like people have heard of me because I was featured on the first episode because I helped give the idea to have the podcast. People may remember that, right?
Very true.
You're like, I've heard that name Denali before. Yeah, that's because I was part of the Pack 350 trip. There's no credit to be taken in this situation. All that I say to that point is like, I am super impressed by you guys. And something that I'm really that I think is very cool about becoming an adult is like recognizing that people older than you are mentors, people your same age can be mentors, people younger than you can be mentors, like, and that you can be proud of people at any age. And so when I'm just like, I'll be a little bit of a, I'm just really proud of you guys. So when you're passing notes, it's like, oh, they have their shit together and they're trying to produce this on the spot. One, in their free time, two, on their own dime. Like, it's just cool. And then there's these, you know, folks that are a little bit younger than me in the room too, who are just putting this thing together. And it's cool. And there's this cool screen with like bars on it, and I don't know what it's doing. There's all this equipment, and I'm notoriously terrible with technology, but it's just cool to see from as little as like, I don't know, that trip was probably 5 months ago when we were just like shooting the shit about a podcast. And you guys have done it, and I'm grateful to be a guest on it.
Markel, what was your question?
My question.
There's always so much buildup. Yeah. When Markel excited. Finally speaks in the episode, yeah. It's like he leans forward. He licks his lips like LL Cool J. My question is, Mr. President.
Yeah, it's super cool. There's a lot of buildup for it. People at home are definitely waiting for it. He's sending out text messages like, yo, look how many views this got because of me.
It's
so cool.
My people.
And then Denali comes in here as a guest. Like, first actual in-studio guest comes in and is like, it's just so great. Like, the people younger can be mentors too. And the whole time she's saying it and she's like, talking really nice about Markel, I'm just like, that young man took me hard in a negotiation still. And was at this party, you know, we did that fundraiser.
We did
and
the
he comes
fundraiser.
To the fundraiser. And at some point, I'm going to let you ask your question here, but I just want to interrupt completely that.
Can I just throw out that
he's
helping you out? Because with that like buildup, I'm giving you and Trey is giving you a chance to come up with a whopper, a doozy of a question, right? Because if you were to follow up with like, what type of shoes do you run in? Like, that's a dud. That's a dud based on the buildup that you played up.
But this is no joke, guys. If you have the opportunity to book High Def, get him in your room as quickly as you can, because this is no joke. We were throwing a fundraiser very recently, to kind of announce the Truist Foundation, which is something we'll talk about on a later podcast. But moving forward, we're at the party and there's music playing, and it's like, yeah, let's. Markel's here as High Def. High Def is here. I don't even know how to really say it because it's way cooler than I am. And the idea is, like, let's get High Def to start singing. That's why he's here. He's here to sing. Why isn't he singing? Like, why do we still have the radio on? And then I'm told the radio's not on. And then I look over and I really look at High Def and I realize this dope ass song
he's been
is
doing,
him.
Yeah, he's been doing
it's
covers
him. The
for
radio
like 30, 40
that's
minutes.
On that's so high quality is him at this party in the middle of Mardi Gras.
Crushing it.
I was really excited by that moment because you're incredibly talented. And also in listening to the podcast and hearing this like Markel versus High Def, like the two personas, I was out on the balcony and when you started singing, I walked in and I just the way you were like standing and of course sounding. But I was like, oh, that's definitely High Def.
High Def's in the house.
And like to further talk about that juxtaposition, I was standing on the balcony when you were coming to the door to come up. And like you're coming down Decatur, moving through the crowds, and he had his backpack on and his backpack is cinched up all the way and it's kind of like hiked up and he's got his shirt buttoned up all the way and the collar button is done too. And he's got the glasses and like he's asking people politely to move out of the way. And like two of our guests at the party asked me like, oh, that kid's trying to get your attention. Do you know him? I was like, yeah, that's Markel. But once he comes up, he'll be High Def. And they didn't get it. And then he hops on the mic and that's the transformation.
So Markel. Your question was.
Well, I feel like now appropriate time to touch the table. Drum roll, please.
Yeah.
Wait, you should do the drum roll.
You should
you
do the
actually,
drum roll.
I was. Did you give yourself a drum roll?
I was like, I'm not touching the
reason. I'm not getting
and
in trouble.
You should touch the table. And because that is actually, you're touching the table like I'm doing right now. The reason we have a no touching the table rule is because of you.
Yes, because
so could you give us a little drum roll?
Yeah, for emphasis, Markel will every time hit the table. So, okay, drum roll and then your question.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to first off say thank you to everyone. That was unpaid advertisement. I did not ask.
Wait, did you just get a... Did we just sponsor your just question?
Sponsored my question.
You have sponsors for your question.
High def, sponsored by the truest adventure.
We don't even have fucking sponsors for the podcast. And Markel has the whole sponsor
my taxes
set.
Are done for
he had a commercial break for his question. What kind of shit is that? We can't even get one sponsor to get on the hook for the whole podcast. And we're sponsoring you for your question.
Okay, the question was...
This question better be awesome.
I'm super ready.
Okay, I know you did a great job. That's what I wanted to say. You did a great job with, like, explaining everything and...
Thank you.
The details and the oh, gosh, it was great. But the question is you brought up people with disabilities and how you guys, like, try to help them in a way. So, like, that spawned into another question. That's why it was hard for me to focus a little bit on... The question is, oh god, I'm stoned because I can't focus. These guys, the question is, do you think, like,
oh god, have we hit the giggle zone?
No,
boy, let's keep it tight. We're
just ask that question,
just do it.
All right, we're gonna move on.
The question. Like a different, like say you were supporting cancer or some other, causes, do you think that would, contribute to running in a good way? Or do you guys think you can see incorporating that in the running? Answer the question. Just that question.
So first I have to say that I haven't done anything yet to help people with disabilities. This international program called Achilles is something that I want to bring to New Orleans. There definitely are, existing groups in New Orleans that I think specifically try to support people with disabilities or, like, you know, races. I'm part of my job is I get to know basically about all of the 5Ks that are going on in the city. And, you know, hundreds of them have incredible causes that they support, whether it's cancer or diabetes, cystic fibrosis, you know. So I think that's, like, a very cool part of running is that a lot of people in nonprofits think of, regardless of what, like, the mission of their nonprofit is they're like, oh, let's hold a race as, like, part of philanthropy or fundraising. So I think that's kind of cool. It's, like, already built. It's logical that Youth Run NOLA has a race, the 504K on March 18th. But that makes sense to me because it's, like, our mission is about running. So we're going to hold a 5K. But there's so many nonprofits that also hold a 5K. So there's already this combination between, in some people's minds, between running or walking and doing it for some kind of good cause. So that's why I think, like, you know, we've you know, snowballed a few ideas within the 504th of, like, is there ever kind of like a philanthropy branch of the 504th? Or do we, like, pick different causes to support? We've talked about the same thing with PAC 350. It's like there is something and there's all these, like, apps where you can log your miles and raise money while you do it. Like, there's all these cool things out there combining physical activity with doing it for a good cause. And so I think I'm not sure if your question was, like, you know, I think there's also I would want to know. I have to talk to Jenna more about, like, the medical side of things of, like, what's appropriate for people who are experiencing various diseases or symptoms of different ailments, and, like, whether walking or running is the best thing for them. But I think there's potential for that.
That's cool. It's super cool.
Yeah.
What's amazing about this is, like, tonight, yet again, I'm sitting in a room with, like, all of these great people, and I consider everyone in this room my friend. And what's really special is that you brought up PAC 350. At some point we'll have to tell that story on a different interview with you about how it took me a pretty long time to understand where the numbers came from. But I cannot thank you enough, first off, for being such a great friend of mine. Secondly, for being here with us tonight. And third thing I have, my last question is maybe you'd come back and talk to us some more about some of this other stuff like the Pac 350, maybe a little more in depth about Youth Run NOL at some point. But I really just want to thank you so much for coming out and being with us this evening.
It was truly my pleasure. I feel really, really fortunate to be here and feel similarly about everybody in the room. So thank you.
Excellent. Jenna, you want to tell everyone how they can, you know, hit us up, follow us, you know, do the things that we need them to do in order for us to keep doing this? Because you remember that one time that we all joked for like 20 hours about how we were going to have 4 listeners? The fact is, when this thing first came out, we had like 200 downloads. Oh, so that's a little more. So maybe it's because you told people at the end of that first episode.
It's probably because of me. And
then
because
we got more people, and then they found some stuff in Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And
Totally. So we're on Facebook as The Truest Adventure. Our Instagram is also The Truest Adventure, and our Twitter is Truest Adventure. If you want to share something with us, hashtag My Truest Adventure, and we'll put it on the show.
Excellent. Yes, indeed. Do we have merchandise yet?
Do no, we have should merch we get on
and
that?
I never knew it. If you guys,
I actually had
a
dream that
t-shirt or something.
I had a dream that we had merch. It was just t-shirts, I think. But
I keep thinking that we need to have merch.
My dreams have been kind of psychic lately, so I can get on that.
I don't even know if we need to sell it or what, but like I
definitely thought I was going to get a shirt.
Oh,
for being
man.
On the show.
If we have shirts, they're not for free. People are buying
Thank
shirts.
Thank you for being a guest. That
Markel will $20 negotiate like, with you.
Honestly, how many projects do we have going on right now where shirts are created? We're throwing out shirts.
We're throwing out shirts.
Yeah.
Shirts like crazy.
We got to start recomping some of this.
The shirt's
shirt.
Going to call you ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. No,
nobody you can't afford that. It's just the ka-ching.
One of the main reasons I say that is just for the fact that if you guys are listening right now, we really, really appreciate that. And the downloading the episode and listening to it, however you're listening to it, is incredibly helpful for us. But that being said, what's even more like helpful, subscribe.
Subscribe.
Even more helpful is after you hit subscribe, write a review. We, as of this recording, we still don't have a single review on iTunes. I would say that we could probably come up with something pretty fun as a surprise for the first person that decides to review us on iTunes. Denali is excluded. Everyone in this room is excluded from that.
As like Markel looks at
his phone. Denali looks at me. Jenna's like,
I'm like, I didn't know that was an option.
Meanwhile, Markel's review says, the podcast great. The guy Markel is the best.
Download High Def's album.
Right. SoundCloud.com.
Link to the SoundCloud.
Literally. If we are getting reviews, that will help us pop up in some iTunes algorithm. So please, 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 if you're out there and you want to give us a review, that would be great. Also, it's just great because I'd love to know what you guys think of the show. I don't know how anyone else in this room feels, but it's terrifying to think that somebody out there could have the same opinion as my father and has the ability to write that down.
Dear God, the only thing I was thinking when you started encouraging people to write reviews is I really hope Jim doesn't figure out how to write a review. On iTunes or Stitcher, and we're on both.
What's crazy is he probably will be the first person to write us a review.
Well, okay, wait, no, let's step back. Let's be honest. We already got Jim's review. We put that in the first episode.
We did.
Jim's review is what the fuck are you guys driving at? Period. Question
that
mark.
That needs to be our third drop after the foie and the fact.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you guys driving at?
So we get somebody in who's like gone off the rails, like a guest who's like, what are you even talking about? Just drop the Jim.
Yeah.
I'll listen. What the fuck are you driving at?
So yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you for telling everyone, Jenna. So, my name is Trey.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Markel.
And I'm Quest. Thank you for listening to The Truest Adventure.